the Niners are not actually that hurt. Calm down. They might be.
Well, I'm looking at the preseason did not plays.
Talk
and,
to me.
Well, I mean, all these guys didn't play. And I know most of them aren't hurt, but, you know, hard to really tell who is hurt and who's not hurt until you get to week one, right?
Well, I made myself feel better today, and I have to give some credit to Matt Maiocco because it was inspired by his tweet. His tweet was about Dominic Pooney. So Dominic was at practice today, didn't participate, but he was running on the side. And Matt tweeted out, he goes, he looks good. He looks a lot better than he did before. And then he ended his tweet with, I'd be surprised if he's not out there for week one. And remember, the initial diagnosis was, week one is, maybe he'll play, maybe he won't. So Maiocco says, I'd be surprised if he's not going to play week one. And for whatever reason, it just jumped into my head. All of these injuries, good Lord, the Niners are decimated, right? Okay, what do we know as far as who's not available week one?
Well, Brandon Ayuk is not available.
Brandon
week
Ayuk,
one.
Okay, yep. And we've known that for almost a year,
right?
Who else
that we know is
we
not available?
Know, like I know today that somebody I wish could play is not going to play. What do we know? I'll give you another name.
Yeah,
Malik Mustafa.
Okay,
but we knew that. We knew that. Anyone else?
Yeah, probably not. I mean, Isaac Garendo, but
already been replaced.
He might be healthy, and not even up on game day. His injury may not even be a determining factor in whether or not he plays.
Okay, I mean, I could play the game of Jacob Cowing and Jordan Watkins, but like Watkins has never played in the NFL, and Cowing has barely played in the NFL. So miss me with the idea that that puts the 49ers in some awful spot.
Juwan Jennings would be one that don't know if he's injured or not. All we know is he's not playing right now. So
no, right, but we don't know that he's out week one. And in fact, Kyle Shanahan said, expect him for week one.
Right, okay.
Which is probably a ploy. But
for sure.
But again, so that's my point is actually for week one, the possibility exists that the Niners are as healthy as they could possibly be right now. I know what August has felt like. Oh, my God, they're decimated. Are they? What if you walk out there with your full offensive line, your full defensive line, which largely returned to practice today, C.J. West, Mykael Williams. Your linebacker core right now is looking good. Renardo Green is healthy. Upton Stout is expected back soon. Diamondo Lenore is fine. The safeties, we don't know who they are, but the safety room is good. They're healthy right now.
Yeah, short of Mustafa, who you mentioned,
right.
But we knew that.
Your running backs, ready to go. What if Juwan Jennings is ready to go? What if the 49ers are actually in great shape for week one? All I'm saying is that today, all of this hand-wringing and freaking out about, oh, my God, we got to trade for Sky Moore. They might be fine. We do not know. Like, none of these dudes have been ruled out of week one as of yet.
With the exception of the two you mentioned, and we knew that.
Yeah, we knew that.
All the way back. And so even Garendo, I don't think he's been ruled out, but he's been usurped. He's now running back three at best, and I actually think that Jeff Wilson Jr., the way he looked on Saturday, I think that he...
We'll see. I don't know if he's going to make the team, but tomorrow we'll bring some clarity.
I mean, it's definitely changed now with Brian Robinson getting signed because, you know, there's another veteran that you can automatically give the ball to and feel better about than you would with Isaac Garendo. But to your greater point, injury-wise, they don't have a lot of guys who are just glaringly going to be out in week one.
And by the way, like, who knows, could be blessing in disguise. I mean, maybe some reps got saved in camp. I don't think this is good for the young players, but maybe some reps got saved in camp, and that could be a good thing. I was forever sort of like adjusted when Steph Curry 3 years ago got hurt before the playoffs. And then the playoffs happened, and you're like, dude, that injury actually scored. That injury was great. Like, he got some rest. And you know, I don't know how many veterans necessarily this affects. The Niners are young in a lot of spots. But some of these injuries, maybe guys just, maybe they were able to sort of work their way through August in a way that keeps them fresher for September, October, November. I'm gonna choose to think that the 49ers are gonna be healthy until I know otherwise. And it just dawned on me, because we've talked so much about injury, that I'm like, we actually don't know that they're decimated by anything 2 weeks from now.
Right. And the fact that Dominic Pooney might play week one, that's tremendous news. And you could have your starting offensive line, and your starting defensive line is kind of a fluid thing. You don't really have four ironclad guys you're going to lean on. And I know that Yetur Gross-Matos is a guy who has been hurt, and he continues to be hurt. He's a depth piece on the defensive line. So of your real mainstays, the guys you're going to rely on, you're right. Like, your running back, your tackle, your tight end, your quarterback, and your new receiver, Ricky Pearsall, healthy across the board. And defensively, it's, you know, Bosa and Warner, and you mentioned the guys in the secondary, healthy. All the linebackers, they've been healthy. So you feel good about going into week one with the majority of your starters.
If they get there. Like, I guess the other name that we could add to this that we haven't brought up yet is DeMarcus Robinson. We know that he's not going to be available for week one, not because of injury, but because of suspension for three games. He's never played for the Niners before, but I've been a fan of his for a long time. He's played for a lot of good football teams. I think he's a really good depth receiver. Rams, Kansas City Chiefs, the teams around him tend to be good. I don't think it's because of him, but if he is your WR3 or your WR4, I think you're in pretty good shape. He's a quality player, and he looked like he had a pretty good preseason. So, yeah, like, I'm not here to tell you that everything looks great with the wide receiver core today for week one, but I don't know that on some level it's awful. I don't know that. If Ricky and Juwan are both ready to go for week one, and then you got to sprinkle in whatever else it is they do between Russell Gage and Sky Moore and things like that.
Robbie Chosen,
like, whatever it is you have to do for week one, sure, that's a little thin, and therefore it's a little scary. But at the same time, like, I don't know, man, like, that roster might look pretty damn good for week one in Seattle.
Depends on how much you have to throw it and how these receivers actually are. Juwan Jennings coming off of no camp, and, you know, Ricky Pearsall has been good so far in the short sample that he had with Brock in the one preseason game. But beyond that, you've had a lot of these guys you mentioned going up against the other team's twos and their threes, so you really don't know if Robbie Chosen still has anything left. And Russell Gage, didn't he get hurt again?
Yeah, no, I think
he's actually back from that last injury.
Was he back today, or was he expected back? I don't know if he practiced today, but word came out that, like, they don't think that this is going to still be a thing 2 weeks from now.
Okay, good.
So, but I mean, look, we're going to get some clarity tomorrow.
And a lot of question marks.
I don't even know who the hell is going to make the team in that room.
Right.
At least to start.
You would figure Sky Moore would make it. Otherwise, why would you, make a trade for a guy and then you end up cutting him? That would be
embarrassing.
A little bit awkward. Yeah. And, you know, you did get him the ball and the jet sweep, the little jet pass. And he's got speed that not a lot of other receivers on this team have. So I'd like to see him up on game day and see how they actually are going to use him.
Grandy, can you find our I like to just call him Carrington Harrington now, because it's fun, even though that wasn't
Harrington Harrison.
Harrison, I know, but it's more fun, Carrington Harrington. Can we play for dibs what he said, some of the things he said about Sky Moore?
Who is this guy you're referring to?
Kansas City radio host.
Okay.
Yep. Covers the Chiefs, I think, from the Chiefs flagship on Odyssey Station out there in Kansas City. And he jumped on the show with us while you were traveling. And I forget what his first example was, but he was talking about landmark moments in his career. And he was like, there was this thing that happened once, which was amazing. But clearly the number two landmark, most surprising thing that's ever happened in my career is that somebody called me to talk on the radio about Sky Moore. So we were the second biggest moment in his career.
Awesome.
Which was exciting.
To talk Sky Moore.
To talk about Sky Moore.
Yeah, which sounds like the career still has some bright spots ahead. Hang in there, Carrington.
Yeah. You hope. He was like, he doesn't catch the football when you throw it to him, was his main point.
That's not good.
He doesn't catch it.
When you're the wide receiver and you have a hard time with the receiving part of it.
And then he dropped one in the preseason game. He caught three, though.
Well, one of them was just the, you're in motion, I'm going to give you the bloop, the little the jet pass.
Right.
That was one of his catches.
That was a forward pass.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's one of his catches.
Yeah. But he caught two others.
Okay.
I mean, three out of four. Apparently, if his name's Jake Moody, he's doing wonderful.
Right. There you go. Three out of four, he'll lose his job.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game. KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Matt Barrels will join us in exactly an hour. And we'll try to get the latest on this. But it has already been a very active day for wide receivers around the league. We woke up to Terry McLaurin has signed his extension with Washington. That situation is over. Then we get word that Jacoby Myers is requesting a trade out of Las Vegas, only to hear an hour later that Amari Cooper has been signed by the Las Vegas Raiders. And the 49ers were reportedly among those who were calling and had interest. Then there's also the non-wide receiver news of the day, which is that Trey Hendrickson has ended his hold in and got a new deal for the Cincinnati Bengals and will still be a free agent at the end of the year. Why is all of this happening today? Well, because I believe cutdown day is tomorrow. Roster decisions need to be made, and people need all of the information they can have before you make roster decisions. They need to know who's available. So the fact that Juwan Jennings sat out practice again today, and the 49ers said over the weekend, oh, we expect him by week one, and Tim Kawakami's got an article, SF Standard, that's suggesting this is starting to lean much more toward holdout, and the Niners might even place him on IR almost as a threat because he's got a lot of incentives in his deal, and if he misses four games, it's going to be real hard to make those incentives. I got to think that they're working hard on this right now. We got 21 hours to go until rosters need to be set, and I would argue the 49ers need to know where they stand and where Juwan Jennings stands before they make that decision.
Yeah, and the decision will be mainly for a guy like Robbie Chosen. Do we end up keeping him? Do you keep Gage and Chosen because you're not sure about Juwan Jennings? I think when you look at the wide receiver room, you're pretty solid on your top four, and if Juwan's there, your top five, you know who you're going to keep, and then it's just a question of do you keep another guy for insurance because Juwan isn't ready to play or he has a calf or his contract is not right. That, I think, is where you have to have a determination from Juwan as to exactly where you stand vis-a-vis him playing football.
Who are you saying are the top four that you know are going to be
on
the roster?
Pearsall and Robinson, and I think Sky Moore, and Ayuk doesn't count because he's on the IR.
And Robinson won't right out of the gate either.
Right.
Suspended.
Because he's suspended. So I do think you look at Gage is a guy who I think you'd like to keep because he's somebody a few years back who was productive. The other interesting one is Cowing, where I think Cowing makes the team, even though...
Oh, for sure.
I mean...
But he might be IR designated for return.
Right.
Same with, I mean, Jordan Watkins. This is kind of what I mean. Like, what you're talking out, I think, is a real challenge before tomorrow, and I don't think any of us even fully know all of the rules of, like, who counts for a roster spot and who doesn't. You're right. Ayuk's on the team, Robinson's on the team, Moore's on the team, Jennings is on the team, Pearsall's on the team, Cowing's on the team, Watkins on the team. But how and when and why and the injuries, suspensions.
And depends on when Watkins can be ready. Like if Watkins can be ready for week two, then you don't want to put him on IR because he's out for four. And so there is a lot of that where you got to determine the severity of the injury. And in Juwan's case, the willingness for him to actually come play football. If we take care of this contract and we give you a little extra or whatever happens, will you come play football in week one? Can we count on that? And that's something that they have to determine here in the next 21 hours.
Well, let's take a listen to what Kyle said, because I think we've officially reached the time where we need to start diving into every word, the tone behind it, what's actually going on here, what's being said, because we're not getting a straight story anymore. We've arrived at like, well, yeah, it's a calf. Calves are super tricky. No clue on the calf. Oh, but yeah, he'll be ready for week one, which is in 13 days. I thought you just said we had no idea. How, like, to me, buttons are being pushed. And I don't, I hate doing this because it sounds super rude, quite frankly, to be making assumptions about someone else's body and injuries. I don't think Juwan is that hurt anymore. Maybe a little bit, but I don't think that this is, that's what this is about. I don't believe that anymore. To me, this is completely about contract, but you decide. Here's Shanahan about Juwan and week one.
It's been almost a month since Juwan last practiced. Is he in jeopardy of missing week one?
I mean, if it doesn't heal, yes. But I expect him to be back. I think he should be back from it, but you never know with calves.
Do you expect Juwan's calf to be this severe when he re-aggravated it earlier in camp?
I'm not a doctor, so like I said, calves take time. You never know with calves.
That's right, they're tricky.
You never know. You never know with calves. And he's right, you know?
No, he's not.
He's totally right. You just never know with calves.
If this was anyone else's calf, they'd be talking to us about it. I mean, yeah, look, McCaffrey to a degree was a calf.
I'm not a doctor, so.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a doctor. I have no idea. Should he be ready for week one? Well, yeah, he should be.
He should be.
That's where he got me. Oh, he should be. Coaches don't do that about injuries because that is putting them in a really bad spot.
Right,
that's putting a player in a really bad spot if you put a timeline on an injury, but you actually don't know if the guy's going to be ready, because then fans start getting, they get disappointed. They feel like too much has been promised and then not delivered.
Yeah, and this is a case where he can't really come out and say, because even if the calf is hurt a little bit, then he hasn't really been out there on the practice field to put it to the test. So even if there is a little bit of something in the calf, Shanahan doesn't know how he's responding because he's not out there practicing.
Yeah. So you combine that commentary with the reports that they could put Juwan on IR. How about that for an incentive-laden deal? How about if you miss four games, Juwan?
Tough to hit those incentives when you're only playing 13.
Meantime, Juwan is walking around the stadium on Saturday eating popcorn and fresh off of an Instagram post that essentially says, y'all messed with the wrong dude. That's where we're at.
Yep.
I don't see anything about a calf in there.
Well, he was walking around. I don't know if he was eating popcorn with a limp. I didn't really get a chance to see that exact footage, but I
don't think so.
Probably feeling pretty good. Just having some popcorn. Get your popcorn ready.
Popcorn's delicious. I wish I had a bag of popcorn right now.
Tough to do radio and eat popcorn.
It is. Although, I know a lot of people are like, that's the one that you can't eat. But for me, you know, it's anything.
And peanuts.
Anything from the nut family.
Yep.
Let's go to Austin in the city. Let's go to Austin in the city. I'm trying to find a way to say it so that it doesn't turn sophomoric and stupid, and I haven't found it yet. Anyway, hi, Austin. What's going on?
Hey, no, I'm just getting off work. Listen to you guys. Hey, I got this, man, for you guys. I'm not too much worried about the receiver group because availability is the best ability. Availability is the best ability. So with that being said, I'm so glad the 49ers got a backup running back with Robertson because, you know, McCaffrey, although he's a good running back, he only had over, 1,000 yards three times in his career, and everything else has been injury prone. And with that being said, too, also, my main concern with that, with injury thing is Kittle. How long he going to stay up for us to win games? Is he going to be a blocking tight end, or is he going to be a receiver tight end until he get injured? And then what? Who else we got on that blocking line for us? Well, other than Williams.
I mean, why are you specifically worried about Kittle? Just because of the obvious, or you think because he's aging, or what? Like, I mean, any of these guys could get hurt, Austin. Any of them at any point, as we know.
It's the injury, and he go hard at his position. You feel me? It ain't no stopping what he do. He good blocker. He runs downfield, catches the ball. He does everything.
He's the best.
That's one of our biggest weapon on our team, and he's also injury prone. So we one injury away from losing it all.
I don't find George Kittle to be injury prone. I think that's an unfair kind of label. I don't know anybody who's played as long as him and hasn't had some injuries here and there. But George has never suffered a major injury. He has suffered bumps and bruises, missed games here or there. But he's never gone down with anything that has kept him out for an entire year or anything like that, Austin.
I'm not saying that he's keeping out for the years. The games that we need him in is that the games that we need him in for. So I'm just saying how long he gonna hold up. Just like the style of play that he play, he plays physical. Just like Deebo plays physical, and they miss his best ability is availability. And we need Kittle to stay available for us to do anything.
I hear you. Yeah, Austin, I hear you. I don't disagree. I just think that that's life. Like, I mean, I don't know how we can sit here and say that, you know what I mean? Like, George Kittle, does he play too aggressively or whatever? Again, like, he has never suffered anything awful in his career, but I can almost guarantee you right now, yeah, he's going to get hurt on some level.
Yep.
He's going to need treatment. It's going to be painful. He probably won't play 17 games.
He never has.
Yeah, like welcome to the NFL.
He played 15 last year, and that includes the last game of the year that he didn't play because why bother? The season was over.
Right.
And the year before that, he played 16 of the 17, and then 15 the year before that. So George Kittle's a guy who plays through pain and some injury. He's always available, and he's always out there doing it, but to Austin's point, I would worry about George Kittle getting hurt just because of the drop-off to the next guy up on your tight end ledger.
Sure,
you don't have that. Even with Brian Robinson Jr. now, you do have somebody who has proven to be able to run the ball in the NFL behind McCaffrey. He's not as good as McCaffrey, but the drop-off from McCaffrey to Robinson is a lot smaller, in my opinion, than Kittle going down to the backup tight end.
Yeah, and just one point of clarification on McCaffrey. He's actually rushed for over 1,000 yards 4 times, not 3 times, and he has had a season affected by injury 1, 2, 3 times, and he's had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 fully healthy seasons. So 6 fully healthy, 3 not fully healthy, 4 times over 1,000 yards. And each of those unhealthy seasons came right after major carries, major touches.